Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
In Judges chapter 13, we read about an angel coming to Manoah's wife and explaining to her that she is getting ready to have a child, and she has been barren up to this point. And he explains to her that this child is going to be a Nazirite, really, for all of his life. Judges chapter 13, look at verse 2. And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. The angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now this is an angel that appears to Samson's mother, and then again to his mother and father. And here's what he says. Verse 4, Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing, for lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son. And no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazirite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. So he's going to be a judge. Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, A man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. And I asked him not whence he was, neither told he me his name. But he said unto me, Behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and now drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazirite to God from the womb to the day of his death. Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again unto the woman as she sat in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. And the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband and said unto him, Behold, the man hath appeared unto me that came unto me the other day. And Manoah arose and went after his wife and came to the man and said unto him, Art thou the man that spakest unto the woman? He said, I am. And Manoah said, Now let thy words come to pass. Watch it. How shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him? The angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. She may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. All that I commanded her, let her observe. So in these verses from Judges chapter 13, verse 2 through Judges chapter 13 through verse 14, you know what you've just read? You've read of an appearance of an angel twice to Manoah's wife and once to Manoah. These are Samson's parents, and he discloses some things to them. Now in the course of this conversation, Manoah asks the angel a question. How shall we order the child? How shall we order the child? You know something? That is a fabulous question. Have you ever thought about asking God before your child is born? How shall we order the child? Now, it's very likely that you already have a child. And it's not too late to ask the question. But how much better, even before the child is born, to ask, like Manoah did, how shall we order the child? Now, that's what Manoah and his wife did. And basically, what you understand by the question is that you have to prepare to bring children into your home, and the right way to prepare is to find out what the Lord wants you to do. You see? He's asking the angel of the Lord, how shall we order the child? He's not going to the Christian bookstore to find out what some author said from his experience about the best practices in child rearing. He is, you know, maybe those books have a place, okay? But if you start with the bookshelf and you don't start with the book, if you start with the bookshelf and you don't start with the Lord, if you start with the author of men and you don't start with the author of God, you're leaving out the most important piece of your preparation for bringing a child into your home. So I suggest to you today that you follow the example of Manoah and his wife and ask the Lord, how shall we order the child? Your child may be 3 or 5 years old right now. Your child may be a teenager. And you may have to make some drastic changes in your house, and your children may be old enough to recognize already that these changes are pretty severe. I'm going to tell you, it's not too late to make the right changes in your life, in your household, for the sake of your children. How shall we order the child? First of all, in answer to that question, you need to prepare yourself for your child. In other words, you need to be ready to take on the responsibility of raising a child. You need to be ready to take on the responsibility of bringing a child into your home. You have to make some changes in your own life in order to be suitable to raise a child in accordance with God's desires for that child. Manoah said to the angel, how shall we order the child? The idea is, if this child is going to be a Nazarite from the womb until the day of his death, then he is going to be dedicated and separated to the Lord. What do we need to do? And as the child's mother, for instance, or as the child's father, you need to be prepared to take on the responsibility of raising a child or rearing a child. Now, in the case of the mother, which is what a lot of this was addressed to, this was a lot of this that the angel said was addressed to Manoah's wife, to the mother, I say, you need to take excellent care of your body, and you need to take excellent care of your relationship to the Lord. Did you notice this angel said to Manoah's wife, okay, the boy's going to be a Nazarite, right? Well, the vow of a Nazarite is such that he can't drink any wine. He can't eat anything that comes from the vine. He can't have raisins or grapes or, you know, grape nut cereal. I mean, he nothing from the vine, okay? And so, furthermore, he can't cut his hair. I mean, there are just certain things that he can't do. He can't eat any unclean thing. He can't touch anything that's dead. That's the vow of a Nazarite. But notice, in preparation for raising a child as a Nazarite, the angel says to the woman, you can't drink any wine or strong drink. You can't have anything that comes from the vine. And you can't eat any unclean thing. So from the time of her conception, her body was to be similar to that of the vow that the child was going to take. Well, that's a very, very, very interesting command, because that says if you want to raise your child as a child of God, and you don't want your child to smoke and drink, and you don't want your child to be obese and all these other kinds of things that you don't want for your child, then you know what you need to do? You need to put your body in subjection and make sure that your body is not on any of these things as well. In other words, if you want to bring up a child and you don't want the child drinking, don't drink yourself. You bring up a child and you don't want the child smoking, don't smoke yourself. If you bring up a child and you don't want the child dipping, don't dip yourself. Do you understand? You don't want your child to be obese, don't be obese yourself. And other things that you can do to take care of your body so that you do two things. Number one, for the wife, you provide health in your body, therefore health in your womb, and you give your child the best possible opportunity to grow up without dependency on these things. They say that there are a number of children born today, I say they, those are the folks that work with juvenile delinquents, they say there are a number of children today that are born as children of people who are hooked on drugs, a lot of whom are hooked on prescription drugs. Well, the child comes out with the dependency, and the child needs to then be on drugs. And when they're not on drugs, they have behavior problems that are very difficult to deal with that oftentimes lead to juvenile delinquency. Well, then I would say to you, if there may be a reason that your body is such that you have to be on drugs for your life. There are people like that. I'm not saying or in any way that a person who needs medicine in order to be able to live and function should somehow or another get off the medicine. But I do say this. If you're on drugs that you don't need to be on, then you need to find a way to get off those drugs. There are people today, young people, that are hooked on prescription drugs. Just because you are under doctor's orders to take a prescription doesn't mean that you're hooked on prescription drugs. But there are people who take painkillers and whatnot, and they have begun to abuse them. Their dosages are higher now than they used to be because their body has developed a tolerance, and now they're in trouble. And your doctor may or may not be one of those who is aware of the level of your dependence on that drug and who is aware that he needs to make some changes in your prescription in order to keep you from raising a child that is dependent upon medicine. Now, I'm not a doctor, and I'm not going to say any more about it than that, except to say this. When you decide that you want to bring children to this world, you need to take excellent care of your body so that you are doing as much as you possibly can to bring a healthy child into this world. Now, there are children that are born with birth defects and other ailments and so forth that you couldn't have controlled, and so what I'm saying is you're not going to necessarily prevent problems, but listen, you ought to do all you can to give your child the best opportunity that he or she can have to come into this world in a healthy body. That's what the angel is telling Manoah's wife. If he's going to be a Nazirite, you start by doing the things that a Nazirite is required to do. I want that child from the womb to be prepared as a child set apart for me. Now, while you're preparing yourself for your child, you ought to prepare yourself not only physically, but you ought to prepare yourself spiritually. When you consider your own relationship to the Lord, is your relationship so strong that this is exactly the kind of relationship with the Lord that you want your child to have? Or is it possible that your relationship to the Lord could be much stronger than it is? You say, well, I go to church once or twice a month, and I don't read my Bible, but I have a little devotional book, and I pray. May I tell you something? You can make a lot of spiritual improvements in your relationship to the Lord to provide a better environment, spiritual environment, in which your child can grow. That's right. You ought to be so faithful in church that you're there all the time. In other words, when the church meets in the morning on Sunday, you're there. When it meets in the evening on Sunday, you're there. When it meets in the evening on Wednesday, you're there. You ought to have family devotions, and all those other kinds of things already set before your child arrives, your relationship with the Lord ought to be as good as it possibly can be. Because I'm going to tell you something. When a child enters your world, suddenly there's chaos. And if you don't have a good, faithful relationship with the Lord, this child's coming is going to throw you into chaos, and you're going to find it harder and harder to develop a relationship with the Lord once you have a child keeping you awake at night and getting sick from time to time and making demands upon your time. Jesus Christ said to us, "Suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." Well, if the kingdom of God is of little children, then you know what that means? Parents need to be raising children in such a way that they are well situated for the kingdom of God. Jeremiah was called into the ministry from the womb. John the Baptist was called to the ministry from the womb. Listen, may I tell you something? God has a plan for your child. That's right. The plan that God has for your child is for your child to grow up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, to get saved, and then to begin to live his life or her life as God directs and chooses, so that he or she can be used exactly the way the Lord wants to use that child. There's nothing worse than going to see an old person in the hospital, hanging on to life, and saying, "Well, I know there must be something God wants me to do, or I wouldn't still be alive." As if they finally became aware that God had a plan for their life, and they need to fulfill that plan before they die, and they haven't been concerned about God's plan at any other time in their life than now, because now they're ready to die and can't. Let me tell you something. You don't want to wait till the day of your, or till the time of your demise and death, to start realizing that, hey, God had a plan for my life. The time to start living God's plan for your life is from the day of conception. And then when that child is born, you need to be in such a way that you are preparing that child every day for God's plan. Okay? And this work begins with you and begins from your child's birth. So if you're going to follow the example of Manoah and his wife, how shall we order the child? First of all, prepare yourself for your child. Secondly, you need to prepare your family for your child. That's right. Child coming into the world is the conception by two people, mother and father. And Manoah asked the question, how shall we order the child? How shall we do unto him? Why? Because, listen, the angel only gave instruction to Manoah's wife. The angel didn't give instruction to Manoah. He didn't say anything to him about, and you don't watch TV, and you don't cuss, and you don't dip. And he's just talking to Manoah's wife. And he says, well, wait a minute. What are we supposed to do? Now, that's very interesting because that indicates then the decisions that are made about that child are made by both the child's mother and father. Well, then you know what you ought to do? You ought to make decisions ahead of time about how you're going to rear that child. Because you need to be in agreement on everything about the child's everything, education and time in church and discipline, and all those decisions need to be sorted out. We just recently had a missionary that visited our church, and he and his wife have 10 children. But when their first child was born, they were both working, and he would have to take his child, I think, from daycare to the child's mother so that she could feed the child. And they made a decision, said this isn't going to work. And made the decision then that his wife would be a stay-at-home mom. Well, you know, she was making about twice as much money in her job as he was in his job. And so they basically took a 2/3 cut in pay. But they did that because the question was, how shall we order the child? And they decided that they didn't have any business letting others raise their children from infancy. And so they took this huge cut in pay, and they just made it work. So you've got to agree. Listen, children know how to exploit the difference between mom and dad. In other words, if dad's more lenient, what a friend of mine calls a rational pacifist, and mom is pretty passionate about some things that the child should be able to do, and they're not quite clearly covered in the Bible, not real sure these are the best things for the child, but this is what mom wants, then dad's going to go along with it, when in fact what he might ought to have done is really stand up and say, according to God's word, this is not right. I do not agree. And then they sort that thing out until they come to a place of agreement, and then they execute on the decision concerning their child. Why? Then the child has no way to exploit the middle. I've seen it. We did it in our own child rearing, and I regret that. The children look for whichever one is the pushover about a particular thing, and they go to that person and say, can I get this done? And they say yes, and they go to the other one, and they say no, and well, mom said yes, or dad said yes, and they keep pushing that thing until finally, to avoid the chaos, finally the weaker one says okay and prevails. That's not in the best interest of the child. You need to prepare your family for your child. Now, dad, if you're the one that likes to go to church and your wife doesn't, then you just have to insist that you're both there. And mom, if you're the one who's just adamant that that you all need to be having family devotions, then dad, you just need to get up a little earlier or get over yourself or whatever or stay out of the garage or your shop for a little bit and get together and pray and get in that Bible. Always agree with the one who is the stronger and more spiritual in every decision. Sometimes it's going to be mom, sometimes it's going to be dad. But listen, how shall we order the child? Both of you are involved, mom and dad both. Now, dad, you got to understand something. When that child comes, up until that time, you think you are the king of the roost. But boy, when that little brat shows up, you're suddenly going to find out that, man, all you are is a breadwinner, whatever it is you do. And mom and that child are connected in such a way that's different than anything you've ever seen in your life. And you're going to feel left out. You're not left out. You must insert yourself into that family relationship in such a way that you and your wife are ordering that child. Now, let me tell you something. If your marriage is on the rocks and you think by bringing a baby into your marriage you're going to somehow or another solidify the marriage, you're thinking wrong. Solidify the marriage, then bring in the baby. The last thing you want is to raise a child in a dual family. That is, where dad's over there married to another woman, and mom's over there married to another man, and y'all got a child together and passing this child back and forth. You may be in that situation right now, but you can testify that is not an ideal situation, and you don't want to be unstable before the child comes in. All right, next thing. How shall we order the child? Manoah asked the angel. Well, that means you got to prepare yourself for your child. You got to prepare your family for your child, and then this. You need to prepare your child for the Lord. You see, in verse 5, the angel says to Manoah's wife, thou shalt conceive and bear a son. No razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. God has a plan for that child, and God has a plan for your child, and you need to prepare your child for the Lord and for his plan. You need to keep your child from harmful things. Listen, you need to listen to the lyrics of the music you're listening to be sure that those lyrics are not harmful to your child. A lot of rock music this day is anti-Jesus, it's anti-Christ, it's anti-God, and it's pro-sex and pro-rebellion and pro-sedition, and it's bad. And if you like that kind of music, you need to get that music out of your house and keep your child from that kind of music. You need to keep your child from harmful movies where there's cursing and promiscuity and nudity. You need to be very careful about your child's education. It may very well be that you, like this missionary family, one of you needs to stay home and provide for your child's education by homeschooling. You may very well need to do that because, I'm going to tell you, public school education today is not what it was when you were growing up. You need to keep your child from video games that are harmful and from harmful foods. Do you realize there are a lot of processed foods that poison your child? And if your child becomes dependent upon sugar at an early age, that's going to have an effect on your children's teeth and on your children's body's health. Very, very harmful. You need to really be careful with that from harmful associations. As your child is growing, you need to keep your child from worldly friends. One of the worst things you can do is allow your child to sleep over at somebody else's house, because then they're exposed to all kinds of things that you won't let them be exposed to at your house. And listen, not only negative things, you don't have to keep them from certain things. Some things you have to develop in them. You have to develop character in them. You have to spend time together with them. You have to be outdoors with them and enjoy time outdoors. You need to, in your home, spend time with them. You know, board games and things like that are good bonding things for the family to be involved in. Not exclusively, but as certainly part of your time together. You need to be involved in your child's education and in your child's discipline. I think one of the most important things you can do is go to Hebrews chapter 12 and read verses 5 through 11. And find out that God raises us as Christians through chastening. And the chastening of the Lord is a chastening that is patterned after the chastening of a father to his son. And you need to make decisions early on and execute on these decisions how you're going to discipline your children. Because ultimately, here's the goal. You want them to obey you on the first command, so that when God makes a command, they will obey God on the first command. That's what you want to do. And whatever you've got to do in order to make sure through your discipline that your child obeys you on the first command, then that's what you need to do. Because children are used to parents saying, I told you to do this, I told you to do this, I told you to do this, when are you going to do this? And then, you know, an explosion, and then the child does it. You know what you've done? You've trained your child not to respond until you are angry. That's not right. Listen, prepare yourself for the arrival of your child. Prepare your family for the arrival of your child. And prepare your child for the Lord. If you'll do these things like Manoah and his wife did, you'll be very pleased with the outcome. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.